I was working very late in my office one hot August night, one of the few, and I had a call from Derek Jewell, who's publishing director of Times Newspapers, and a close friend of Duke Ellington's. For various personal reasons, Duke Ellington had called Derek and said he wasn't coming to Europe that year. Derek, en passant, in a moment for which I will eternally be grateful to him, suggested that Ellington make contact with me. A quarter of an hour later, having said, yes, I'd love that, Duke called me, and I'll never forget the opening remark was, "Hi, baby, are you feeling cool?" to a total stranger. 2 days later, I was in San Francisco, in Bimbo's Club, having accompanied Ellington from his hotel. He always chose hotels which had Chinese room service, or room service which would put up with sending out for a Chinese meal. It was, of course, the days of the great band with Johnny Hodges, and the front desk with people like Harry Carney and Paul Gonzalez, and of course Lawrence Brown was there, Cat Anderson, Cootie Williams. I signed Ellington for a European tour, which happened in 69. I was fortunate enough in that he let me become a very close personal friend of his.
Duke Ellington returned to this country to tour for Robert Patterson on two other occasions, and it was Robert Patterson who presented the Duke's last tour of Europe.
I was heartbroken when I was in Los Angeles and had a call from his sister to say that he was dying and wanted to see me in hospital. And in fact, 2 days before he died, Andy Williams was back in England for me, and he was allowed 3 phone calls that day. It was his 75th birthday, April 29th, 1973. One was from President Nixon, who was then in office. One was from Rockefeller. And one was a combined call from Andy Williams and Michel Legrand and I from the artist's room at the Albert Hall. And he sounded very sick and very ill. I went over to his funeral and looked after the family as much as one could and took Count Basie and Benny Goodman to the funeral. And even people like Judy Collins, who musically were so affected by his death, it was really a state funeral. There were 65 cars in the cortege that went for an hour and a half at very slow pace through the streets of New York and made stops outside Ellington's first house in Harlem, the old Cotton Club, the old Roxy Theatre. We stopped in silence for a minute. And I was in the third car, and it was one of the most profound and moving moments, I think, of my life. It was quite extraordinary, going through Harlem with all the shuttered windows and everybody standing in silent homage in the streets. The great thing about Ellington was that he had, up to about 1971, he had almost a constant band for 40 years. Johnny Hodges died, and then, of course, Paul Gonzalez died tragically in England, and Harry Carney's now gone, and Joe Benjamin was killed in a car crash, and slowly the band. Curiously, as Duke became sicker, members of the band died. The whole thing began to disintegrate at once. But Ellington was able to write a piece of music one night in an airport lounge and hear it performed the next night, because the band was an extension of his whole being. I mean, he just had to give them the dots. I used to always ask him to play as an encore, and bless his heart, he usually did, that beautiful, beautiful piano solo called Lotus Blossom, which in fact Billy Strayhorn wrote. I was fortunate enough to make the last six albums of Ellington, and on one of them he included as a favour Lotus Blossom, and that certainly was my favourite piano solo.